So yeah, it will be on podcast.
Hello.
You want me to go first? Okay.
Let me pray for you guys.
Okay. That's a good idea.
God, I just thank you so much for these two. I just thank you for the blessing that they are in my life. I thank you for the joy that you've put inside of them. And I just thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for their journey and their process. And I thank you that, Lord God, you have so much that you're building them up for. And Lord God, so much for right now, for today, that you want to do through them, Lord God, and in them. And I just thank you for their marriage. I thank you for the joy that they have with each other, Lord, that the laughter that they have with each other, and just the depth that they have, and just the way that they're able to love people. And I just pray for more, just a greater capacity for everything you have for them, Lord. Thank you.
Thank
you. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'll just give like a basic overview, and I'm sure you'll want to go into depth on other stuff, right? Sure. Okay, so the last, like, I don't know, 6 months, 4 months, whatever, have been, like, super rough. And, yeah, it was just, like, kind of, like, really discouraging. And we just kind of, like, so, I don't know, when we first heard about the river thing, was just, it popped in my news feed that Tommy, like, had replied he was going to something. I saw his picture on it. So then, like, the next day I saw him, I was like, hey, what is this? And he told me about it, and he goes, you should come. And I was like, sweet, I think I might. But we really weren't, it was, like, a thought. And then, like, the next Sunday that the week after you shared, that Tommy shared or whatever, he, like, brought it up and was like, we're doing this thing and you guys should come or whatever. And then afterwards, me and Mary both just like, okay, we need to go to that. Like, we just, like, knew we had to go. We didn't know how, but we were like, let's just go. And so then that was the plan. And we told everyone, like, yeah, we're going to go. We told Josh that, and we're like, we're going to go and we're going to figure it out. And then, like, the week right before, Josh was like, hey, man, I found this hotel's here. And I was like, yeah, we definitely can't go. There's no way we're going to make it. We cannot afford it. We don't have, like, yeah, we just, there wasn't any way we're going to go at all. So anyways, we like sitting there going, like, we really want to go. We know we should go. We can't go. And so then, like, the day before the conference, wasn't it the day before? We were sitting there, like, still, like, really want to go. And I still hadn't told my bosses I could work. So I, like, had taken the time off, like, a month prior. And I was just, like, kind of waiting for something to happen. It's like the day before, I was still like, I don't know, we should just go, maybe we shouldn't go, whatever. And then I just had a dream that night where we, like, decided to go, and I woke up, like, pumped. I was like, sweet, we're going to leave after work today. And I was like, oh, that was a dream. That wasn't, no, let's just do it. So at work that morning, I just called Tommy, and I was like, hey, we have this much money. The trip is going to cost way more than that. I was like, what do you think we should do? Because he was the one who told us we should come anyways. And so he was just like, if you guys can get down there, I'll take care of you. And I was like, okay. So after work, we loaded up and hit the road and drove 10 hours through the night, and we got there. Everyone there, like, covered our food the whole weekend. Tommy gave us this hotel room that they, like, the church had bought for him.
Yeah.
Tommy paid for our admission for the actual conference itself, because he thought he could, like, get us in for free with him, and he couldn't, so he just paid for it himself, which was ridiculous. And then, we didn't really pay for anything. It was just ridiculous. We pretty much paid for the gas to get down there. And we stopped at Wendover on the way there, and then God gave us, like, another, like, $20 or something. Just paid for that meal on the drive down. We, like, did, like, a 25-cent slot just for fun, and it was, like, yeah, won, like, $20 like that. So, like, it covered our meal even just driving down there. So, yeah. Just, like, it was, like, one of those, it was just little stuff, but it just, like, worked out. And we were just, like, yeah. You could use it, yeah. No, but it was just cool, because we knew we needed to go, but we didn't know how. And so we just went, and it just, like, just got taken care of. Like, we got back, and we were, like, hey, we're not broke. Like, we figured it out. Like, it was, so, I mean, no, we didn't win, you know, hit a jackpot, and wasn't amazing at that, but it was still, like,
yeah,
all the little stuff. And so, but, I mean, but it was just, yeah, it was a really good weekend overall. And then there was just a lot of, like, just because, I don't know, I kind of, like, going down there, knowing, like, whatever I was carrying to California, I wasn't bringing it back. I knew that. So I was just, like, waiting for a place to leave it. So whenever the first night they did something, I can't remember what it was just like, hey, if you're, I don't know, struggling, whatever, come up here and, like, someone will pray for you. And there's, like, a row of all their ministers. And so I went up there, and was it Eric Gregson? You know, I don't know if you guys know him. Anyways, Tommy's the guy who's a guitarist, Sleeping Giant. Anyways, he was the one who was free, so I went up and he prayed over me. And he was, like, praying for a minute, and then he just, like, goes, like, all I'm getting the word. He's like, I'm just getting one word. He's like, I don't know if it means anything. He's like, I'm just getting the word spiritual stronghold. He's like, I don't know if that means anything. I just feel like, when there's stuff going on in the spirit and everything, he's like, everyone's, like, going out or whatever, and he's like, and you can carry it. Like, you're, like, carrying it, and you're not, like, he's like, and you're not, like, super sensitive to the spirit. And I was like, okay, and it didn't really mean a whole lot, but the more I thought about it, I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Because, like, all the time, I'm just like, why don't, you know, like, especially, like, at the counter and stuff, when everyone's, like, you know, whatever, speaking in tongues and stuff, I'm just, like, standing there going, this is cool, but so, like, I'm not getting anything out of it. So it's just kind of, it was like one of those things, it was like kind of cool, because that's like one of the things I was a little bit discouraged about, going like, why am I not getting anything, like, in that aspect. And it was just like, just that simple word just kind of like really spoke to me. And then the next night we had Ivan Roman pray over us. And that wasn't even like a, it wasn't like I was approaching them going, hey, prophesy for us. Like, I wasn't asked that. It was just like they were praying for like impartation and stuff. And I was like, sure, why not? If like, if someone's got it to give, I'll take it, you know? So we went up there and he just started praying. And I don't think he even prayed for impartation at all. He just started praying and just prophesying and like going off. And he like went out and just gave like, just hammering a bunch of stuff like on me and just like helping me. It was just like, I can't remember what he said exactly.
It's a deep well of hope.
Yeah. Well, he was saying, there was something he brought up. He said that, because I'd been feeling really discouraged for a few months, but I didn't know why. Like, I was like, there was not really, there's a bunch of little things that happened, but nothing really to like kind of kick me. And so I was just trying to figure out why I was like, I don't know. But anyways, he just like said, he's like, you're getting, what is the word he said? He was like, basically, he's like saying, there's like, you, he's like, you're like sympathetic to like what other people are going through. He's like, and you'll like pick up stuff in the spiritual of what they're, like what's happening in their life. He's like, and you'll carry it, and it's not yours to carry. Mm-hmm. He's like, so you're like walking around with depression that's not yours. You're walking around with this, and it's not yours. And like, as soon as he said that, it just like fell off. I was like, wow. And I was just like, yeah. Because I've been for months going like, I don't know why I'm pissed. I don't know why I'm depressed. I don't know why I'm like, happy, whatever these issues. Because I'm like, I don't have those issues. And I don't know why I'm having them. Like, because I was like, I never like was going like, God doesn't love me. I never was doubting God at all. Like, none of that. It was just like, I just don't feel right. And so when he said that, I was just like, okay, that makes sense. Like, so really just like, seriously, just in that moment, I was just like, whoa, okay. Like, and that was one of the things he called out. And it was just like, after that, it was just like, cool, I'm good. Like, that's what we came down for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just, it was an amazing weekend. I mean, the worship was fantastic. And it was cool because after that, the next worship service was like, just great. Like, it was so cool. And, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of good stuff. The whole weekend was awesome. It was just like 3 days of, yeah, just great stuff. I'm bummed we missed like the last service because there's a storm rolling in and we had to hit the road. But it was... Yeah, I mean, so it was just really good. Like, it was like, I knew I had to be there, and we got there, and then God pretty like, it was pretty much like, we were kind of going into it, going like, God's like, if you'll get there, I'll take care of it kind of thing. Like, it's like, I know what you're going through, and I want to like, I have answers for you. And so we're like, I need answers, so I need to get there. And so we got there, and he like handled it all, and we came back going, cool, I'm glad we went there. It was like 20 hours of driving, and I would do it twice if I had
right,
to.
Right.
So that was pretty much it. Synopsis.
When Cody first brought it up, we should go to the river thing, I was like, I don't know, we probably can't afford it, I don't really, you know. And then I felt like, well, it's like for our, like our leaders, you know, like our church leaders are going, like Tommy and Josh, and I thought that you guys were going to go too, so I was like, I don't know if like, I was like, I don't know if like, we'll like really get anything out of it, you know, I'm just like, is it really our place to go? But Cody really wanted to go, and then when Tommy was talking about it, I just felt like urgency, like we need to get there, and I was like, okay, well, we'll try it out. So we get there, and it was really good. Like all the speakers were really amazing. It was so great to see like where like our church leaders like where like I guess their grace comes from, like because we're a part of the river and. I didn't know that. And so it was good to see, like, that part of it and to see, like, where, I don't know. For me, it was really great to see how I can help our church leaders, like, help them get to where they need to, where they, help them to get where they think, or to get where God is taking us, I guess. I don't know. And so that was really amazing. And up until then, I was having a really hard time worshiping. Like, I couldn't really, like, get into it. I was, like, super distracted, thinking about a lot of things, like, just got a business. And then I've been really concerned about getting a home and health insurance. I mean, just a lot of stuff. I didn't realize, and I was having trouble sleeping, you know, and a part of it, I kind of, just passed off to like health problems, you know, because my body will like push me into like a pre-diabetic state, and just because I have like hormone issues, and so I just figured it was that I wasn't sleeping and I wasn't, you know, but it was definitely more than that. And we get there, and I'm just, and I, there's just, like, disconnect happening between me and God, and so I, and when that happens for me, like, doubt just, like, starts pouring in, and I'm like, you know, like, this isn't real, like, this is not real, like, everyone is fooled, like, God is not real, you know, and that it's stupid because I know better, you know, and he's proven himself over and over and over again to me, but it was just that disconnect happened, and so Josh, he starts dancing, you know, kind of heard that story, and once he started, like, it just, like, something in me broke. And God was just like, that can't happen if I'm not real. And I just, boom, on my knees, ugly crying. And he just, like, I'm real, like, I'm alive. And it was really refreshing. I felt better. And I still wasn't really able to worship, but I felt, like, better connected. And then Ivan prophesied over me. And, he starts, like, praying over me, and he's praying really slow and really quiet, and I was like, okay, because, like, I had watched him, you know, and he just starts praying, and he's just like, ah, you know, and I was kind of expecting that, and then it's just, like, super slow and super quiet, and he's like, you are so, your mind is so busy, like, you need to slow down, and I was like, okay. And, like, start breathing, and he, as soon as he put his hand on me, like, I didn't feel like I had legs, like, it was really bizarre. And he's just, like, praying over me, and he's, like, talking about how like, I'm, like, God has heard me, my cry about health insurance and buying a home. Like, he just starts speaking all of those things that I've been worried about, and I just start crying, you know. And it was really awesome. And he starts, like, talking about how, I can't even, I have to look and see what I wrote down, but, do you
remember? What about which one?
Just kind of the whole
thing. I don't know, it was just funny because he prayed for me first. So he wasn't really prophesying over, but he was just kind of, like, going through and praying for people.
Yeah.
So he, like, prayed for this guy for, like, I mean, like, 30 seconds, maybe, you know, like, it was just fast, like, boom, 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 and he got to us, and, like, and when he prayed for me, I felt like he prayed for a long time, like, I was like, that felt a little weird, and then he started praying for Mary, and it was funny, because when he finished praying for me, I was like, cool, I'm good, and so when he was praying for Mary, I was just laughing, like, because he's just, like, pointing stuff out, and I knew it, and I wasn't worried about it, so he's, like, points out health insurance, and Mary's, like, crying, I'm just laughing, like, I was like, this is so funny, he's just, like, pointing it out and stuff, and Mary's, like, bawling, and it was just so funny, but, like, it was, what's really funny is, like, because I guess he even like told Tommy about it later. Oh, there's this couple that he's like, I just got to show me all this cool stuff. And so he's like telling Tommy about it, and Tommy had no clue it was us, and like Ivan had no clue that we knew Tommy. And so when we told Tommy our story, the week, like the 2 days afterwards, Tommy's like, that was you guys, and he started to tell us all the stuff that Ivan told him later. Yeah. So it was just like funny how like it was just all connected. But
yeah, and so he, you know, prays over me, and he's like, how do you feel? And I was like, well, I feel heard, you know, sometimes you pray and it's just like hitting the ceiling, you know, and to hear that, like, all of my worrying, all of my stress, like, God was like, I hear you, you know, and I've got you, like, I'm gonna take care of you, and it was so relieving to hear. And then the last thing he prayed for was, he's just prayed for healing over my feet, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me when he did. I was like, oh, that's weird, you know, like, why are you praying for my feet? And then a little bit later, I was like thinking about it, and I'm like, yeah, my feet hurt all of the time, but I just was like, you know, I'm on my feet all the time, like, I work, I'm, you know, and at home, like, I don't really sit down, you know, and I don't have good shoes, you know. My pain made sense to me, and God saw it and was like, I have better for you, you know, and my feet do not hurt at all, like, ever. Like, I can stand for so long, and because, like, even worshiping here, as soon as I stand up, my feet start hurting, and I really, like, I need to stand during worship, like, it's just part of, how, like, it's just really important to me that I stand. And so with my feet not hurting, like, it's just awesome, like, how God was just like, yeah, like, I got you, you know? Like, it's okay. But it was really amazing, and we got to the hotel after Ivan had said all that thing, and I fell asleep. Just, you know, it usually takes me about an hour to fall asleep. Like, it takes me so long to fall asleep just because my mind is just going. And I just slept so well. I've been sleeping really well, which has just been really amazing. I'm still worried about that stuff, but I'm not losing sleep over it. And I know that, like, God's going to take care of us. And, he really does have good intentions for us. And to see that, to hear that, through somebody who doesn't even know us was really amazing and really powerful. Because Josh danced, like, so well. I wish that you guys could have been there just for that part. If any part you were there, I wanted you to be there for that part. Afterwards, he, like, got called up, and they were prophesying over him, and I really love what they said, because Josh is our pastor. Like, he's leading us into this. And they said, like, he's got, like, war paint on and, like running, like, he's a front, like, out the front gate, you know. And they just said, like, whoever is running with Josh, be prepared, you know. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's awesome, you know. Like, to be a part of where Josh is going, to be a part of where Tommy and Chrissy and Bethany and Mike, where their vision is, to be a part of that is awesome. Like, I feel very honored that God has called us to be a part of this family. And I think it's important, like, because, like, we all have a place, you know? Like, we all have a place at this table. And I don't think that it should be something that we take for granted, you know, because it's just really important, you know, like, God is working through us, and we have the privilege to be a part of it, and we're not here by accident, you know, like, we didn't just happen upon this family. You know, like, we're here for a reason. Like, we're a part of this congregation, this family, for a reason. And you can't forget that, you know. Like, you carry that. And when you're a part of a family, a part of a good family, you know, like, my family, I love my family. And I'm happy when people know who my parents are. I'm happy when they know, like, I carry that with pride. And I carry this family with pride. And I think we all should. So.
Thanks, guys.
We're good.
Yes. I like it.
What a great segue into what we're talking about. Perfect. Because we're going to be talking about Revelation, not the book Revelation, but Revelation and what Revelation is. So, I love seeing people get rocked by God. Like, it's so awesome. And so to see, like, you know, Cody and Mary Beth, and they weren't really sure, like they were saying, like, why they were there, and you could tell that they felt like they didn't, a little out of place at the beginning, you know, just that kind of feeling, you know, and one of the things that I felt like God, you know, told them is that, like, they do have a place there, that they're important, that they're needed there in that, you know, in that setting, and it was a huge encouragement to me. Was it the first night that they had all the leaders, pastors come up?
Yeah.
The churches? So the first night they had all the pastors come up, and I was out talking with Jonathan Welton,
working through some stuff. And later on, they're like, hey, they prayed for all the pastors and you weren't here. And they're like, we want to pray for you. And then they just started like praying for me. And it was just, I felt so like just surrounded, you know, because sometimes, you know, leading and going forward, like it can feel lonely sometimes, you know, and you're not sure if people are really there for you. And it's not like doubting when people say that, but it's just like those affirmations and saying like, hey, you're not alone in this. Hey, we're walking with you. Hey, we're doing this with you. And to feel covered as well. And I think that's really what a family is, you know, like those of us like leading and being leaders. Yeah. Like we're here to serve you, but at the same time, like we need from you guys too. And that's the beauty of family. So I love it. I love when we get to see God move in like everyone's life. And what was really cool about like a lot of the speakers and stuff is these aren't giant name speakers, you know, like they're not like these like thousands of people flock, you know, to them, like, but they carry something really powerful. And as they were going through and talking about the different, you know, fivefold ministries and what they carry and just, you know, the prayer times and the relationship times. And I almost didn't go. And they lied to me and said they weren't coming, and they came. So I get there and I see like Chayton Whiskey, and he's like, oh yeah, Cody and Mary Beth are coming. I'm like, no, they're not. Yeah, I just talked to them. They're on their way. What? Anyway, so it was a good surprise. They didn't really lie. They just never told me plans had changed. Anyway, we're gonna go to the scripture. So we go to Ephesians 1:17-19. We're going to start there. You know, we've been talking about the prophetic, and we're going to keep doing that. Chrissy is actually teaching next Sunday and about the prophetic, so which will be awesome. It's been a little while since we've heard Chrissy teach. Did I see her? Is she here? Was that the baby crying? Okay. Not Chrissy. It's the baby. But... okay, so Ephesians 1:17-19. Let's start up a little bit, 15. So for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you my prayers. And so this is Paul's prayer for the people, the Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Paul was asking, he was praying for them to have wisdom and revelation. But for what? To know Jesus. Like, that's it. Like the revelation to know who Jesus is. And we have such a gift to have the Holy Spirit that reveals things to us, the Holy Spirit that communicates to us, the Holy Spirit that prophesies through us, the Holy Spirit that gives us images and gives us truth, gives us wisdom, is there to counsel us and walk us through life. And all of that is so that we know Jesus better. Like, that's awesome. So even when Cody and Cody Beth, I'm awake, I promise. Cody and Mary Beth are getting spoken over. It's to reveal Jesus. It's to reveal his love. It's to reveal his truth. It's to reveal more fully who he is in their lives, who he is in this world. And so whenever we are encouraged and built up, it reveals who Jesus is more clearly. That's beautiful. If that's our focus, not just what we're getting from it, but what we actually get to see about him because of it. That's a blessing. I have a box of these. They are in my room at home. Dang it. Epic fail. So I will get those for you all soon. Dang it. thought I was doing so good today too. You know, you wake up, you think I got all your ducks in a row. You get things planned and prepared, and got little business things, watered plants. Forgot the box. Whatever. Okay, so let me. I just had a bookmark. Where did it just go? So in this book, and referring to it, like we're gonna definitely be coming back to it, because you guys will then have read it. But he says the spirit of revelation is basically God's spirit keeping us connected to His thoughts and heart for us and His Son. That's awesome. He reveals. He's a God of revelation. He's not a God of secrecy. And a lot of things we chalk up to like, oh, that's the mystery of God. I don't have, as a human, the capacity to fully understand Him. But throughout my life, He reveals Himself more and more and more. And He continues to give us who He is. And when we have more capacity to receive, He gives us more. And He gives us more. And when we have more maturity, He gives us more. And He takes us into new places. I'm never going to fully comprehend Him. And I don't know if we're like, even when we're in heaven, like, I think it's still going to be a journey. I think it's still going to be a process. I think it's still going to be a love affair of pursuing Him, you know? But even though He's like right there, I don't know. But with that, like, we chalk things up to mystery. I'll never know that. Or that's just God. And there's a song by Bethel, and it's, you don't hide yourself to tease us. You don't keep yourself from us. And it's like, he's not just like, oh, I'm just going to give you just a little bit. Now keep following me in just a little bit. That's not what it is. It's this relationship. And with relationships, as we come closer and closer together, we also go deeper. We get to know each other. I have not been married, but those who have been married, throughout the years of marriage, you go deeper. You get to know those people better and better and better. And I remember somebody saying, like, my parents have been married. That's my mom back there. But my parents have been married 40 years? 42 years? Holy Hannah. Is that right? No, 40. 41, maybe. Because Nathan's turning 40. Nathan's turning 40. So 41.
Yeah, it is 41 next year.
Okay. I thought, gosh, I'm like, whoa. Anyway. And they've expressed, and other couples who have been married for like 50, 60 years, they say that if they continue to pursue each other, they continue to get to know each other, there's still things that are being revealed. And we're human. We're deep and we're complex. But God, like, it's a lifetime of pursuing Him. And there's more and more. And so it's not like this like carrot that He's dangling so that we keep moving forward. It's this revealing in relationship. And I think we need to wipe away some of the ways that we see God trying to just trail us along and God shrouding Himself in mystery. Because when the veil was torn, when Jesus opened that up, when the Holy Spirit was given to us, we have access to all, to everything that Jesus has access to. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we have access to everything He has access to. That means we have access to understanding God like Jesus understands Him. Now, yes, we're still human, and yes, we have limited capacities in some ways, but the Holy Spirit is revealing to us as we need it and as we understand it. And so when prophetic words and revelations are given to people, it reveals the heart of the Father. It reveals Jesus. It reveals the beauty of who He is and what He's done for all of us. Like, that's amazing. He says later, like, so may you have revelation to really know Jesus. Here's another quote by him. The spirit of revelation that the Bible and people refer to is the Holy Spirit bringing revelation of all that God wants to do and who God is so as to fulfill everything that needs to happen for Jesus to have His prepared bride. Okay, so I'm going to read that again. The spirit of revelation that the Bible and people refer to is the Holy Spirit bringing revelation of all that God wants to do and who God is so as to fulfill everything that needs to happen for Jesus to have His prepared bride. The more I know who Jesus is, the more I know who I am in light of who He is. It brings true humility, right? So if humility is knowing who I am in light of who God is, it's not me thinking, oh, God, I'm just so low. No, God elevates us. But it's like, I know who I am because I know who he is. And the more that I understand him, the more that God reveals who he is, then I'm more comfortable with who I am. That's the beauty of this relationship. I get to know him better, so I get to know myself better. Because I'm a reflection of him. He's made me after his image. He reveals himself. And thus I get revealed as well. Unveiled. And I love that. My journey of getting to know God more, especially this last 6 years, which have been some of the most critical and pivotal years of my life, the deeper I've gone with him, the more I've understood myself and the more free I've become. So it's an added bonus. We don't pursue God just so that we feel good, because that can be an emotional roller coaster. But as a blessing in the midst of pursuing him, we do become free. If the focus is on me, only me becoming free, and that's my whole focus, I'm not going to go very far, because I'm going to become more like what I fix my eyes on, right? But if I fix my eyes on him, I'm going to become more like him. And in that, I become more free. Like, that's beautiful. Like, what a blessing that that's the relationship we get to come into. You pursue me, you get to become free. Like, there's not a lot of, like, earthly relationships that are that beneficial for us in that same way, right? I mean, there's such a blessing in what God's doing. He's like, you just come to me and I'm just going to pour and pour and pour and pour. We've talked about, like, when God reveals things. So for Mary Beth, when God was revealing through Ivan Romanov? How do you say his name? Roman? Ivan Roman. It's Roman. I think it's Roman. Anyway, Ivan R. When he was speaking to her, he revealed some of the pain there. You're worried about this and this and this. Sweet, he could have just walked away. Great. Thanks. I know. I've been dealing with this for months, right? You know, like, God can give us words of knowledge. He can give us revelation. He can give us discernment on things, right? So now what do we do with that? He took it a step further, and he revealed God's heart for her in that. That's not for you. That's not for you to worry about. He sees you. He hears your heart, and this is what he has for you. Same thing with Cody. Like, this is what you're feeling. That's not for you to carry. Great, we can call out people's pain. That's not hard to do. We can read it on people. God, you're having a really crappy day. Thanks. Thank you. I'm aware. I feel that right now. So what do we call them into after that, right? How do we reveal Jesus' heart for them in that situation? What are we providing? We are helping to unveil the Savior. We're helping to unveil the lover that's pursuing them, his heart for them in that. I don't know exactly who this is, but I figure if Sean Bowles is referring to this person, it's probably somebody really cool. So Kim Clement, anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Very cool person. Okay. Okay. I figured that since a book about prophecy, there's something connection there, but I haven't read a lot of those books. So.
He prophesied Donald Trump to become president.
Oh, really? Okay. This is one of his quotes. I see you in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. That's his heart for prophecy. I see you in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. And I know I keep referring to you guys, but just because you guys shared your story, like, they weren't feeling very good. But when Ivan was praying over them, he saw something better. He saw a better season that God was walking them into. Right? God gives us the ability to see who God is creating people to be. That's beautiful. That's finding that gold and drawing it out. It's not seeing people in the midst of all their hardships and, like, seeing all the junk that they carry. That's not the goal. That's not, people know the junk that they're carrying. But when God calls some of that stuff out and he says, okay, I know, I hear you. I hear your heart. I hear this, but this is what I have for you. This is what I want to reveal about my character, about my love, about this love affair that we have. Like, I don't know about you guys, but that is freaking awesome. Like, as we continue to move forward, and it was, I mean, I thought it was really cool last Sunday because people just started going around and praying for each other, and we're going to have a time of prayer today as well in some small groups. And it's not about getting it right. That's not the goal. The goal is to show love. And so if our focus is to love people well, it's not about having the correct words. It's not about having it perfect. It's about the heart that we're carrying and bringing to people, right? In this book, Sean was talking about being wrong, and he was talking to somebody, I don't know if they were on a plane or you met them, anyway, you'll read the story, but in that, he like says some stuff, and the guy's like, nope. He's like, okay. He's like, the guy keeps questions, and he's like, why do you ask? And he's like, well, funny thing, I'm trying to practice hearing God's voice, and he's like, what? Huh? Yeah, it was at that. And he's like, what? I've been wanting to talk with somebody who hears God's voice. Can I just like pick your brain? And so they like had 45 minutes of like, you know, having a conversation. Because he tried. He stepped out, you know? And that boldness is something I have to push myself and pursue, you know? I feel like God's been speaking a lot when I'm running. So now it's making me not want to go for walks and runs. No, just kidding. But I'm walking by people and I feel like I'm getting things and I still have not stopped. I've had three times where I feel like God is like, hey, I think I really want you to encourage this couple and just tell them that like God has really great things for your marriage and he wants to take you guys deeper. I kept running. So like I'm not up here to tell you guys I have this all like perfect and like together, like, but I want to be able to in that moment stop. And be like, hey, you know, like, and there was, I don't know, there was another one that I felt like he was saying too. And they're not like, that's the thing. I want him to be like, ooh, your mother's name is Martha, and you have, this is your favorite number, and you were born on, you know, like those kind of things. Like, and God might, I don't know, like, that's cool. God gives like that kind of stuff. But like, so sometimes I'm like, oh, is that just my thoughts? Oh, and it's like, as I'm doing this, as I'm preparing like and showing you guys some of these like nuggets of gold in here, like it's hitting me like so hard because I'm like, what am I gonna lose by showing love to people? Like I'm getting kind of frustrated with myself. This is my inner dialogue. I'm like, what am I gonna lose? Like what's the point? Like I stopped to try to show love. Like that's it. And if that is my focus, like I'm still, and though God has like restored so much in me, I'm still worried about what other people think about me. I'm still worried about like if it doesn't mean anything to them, you know? And so I was thinking in my head as I was running away from this couple, not from, I guess, that's what it felt like, as I'm running away from them, you know? Like, then I'm like, what if I would have asked that and they weren't even married? What if I would have done, you know, like all this different stuff, you know, like, yeah, they're like, we just met, we're friends. What? Okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to hear, you know, like, I like how he said that, like, I'm practicing to hear God, and I just want to see if this means anything to you, you know, like, what am I going to lose other than, like, there can only be something gained in showing love. So anyway, I'm going to continue to show you guys my little failures, and big failures, for you guys to also encourage me, like, I feel like we're on the cusp of tapping into something that God really has for our community that's really going to break forth and help us all feel more alive. I really do. And that's what I want to pursue, you know? And I don't know how to do all of this, you know? Like, I'm not an expert theologian, you know? I'm not this guy that's been walking in this, like, prophetic, crazy ministry. Like, I love Jesus, and I'm falling in love with him more, and I just want more of what he has for us. And I get discouraged, and I get to these places of like, you know, God, what are you doing? Like, what, you know, like, what, is this worth it? Is this important? You know, like, God, all the time that I spend for church, like, could there be other things that I was doing and like helping the community? Like, what do you really have for me? What do you really have for us? Like, my inner dialogue is not like, always like, oh, this is just like ethereal, you know, like, it's this constant daily battle of like, God, what do you want? What's the best for us? What's the best for me? What's the way that you want to show love in these situations to these people? How do you want to be unveiled? You know, and I love when people, like I said, have those encounters with God and this light comes on and this joy is, you know, flares up. Like, that's awesome. And I love it, but I want people to keep it. And so that's where I've gotten to this place of, like, it breaks my heart when I look at these people who have gone through, and I've seen it. I've watched them go in these amazing moments with him and start to feel this freedom, and then it's gone. You know? And that's not like place of, like, I'm not going to be, I'm not, like, hopeless, but I'm like, okay, God, what else do you have? Because a one-shot thing with him, that's an amazing encounter for you guys. But now how do you carry that with you? How do you continue to have that affect you? How do you continue to have that reveal who he is? How do we hold on to those prophetic words and actually live them out? Because just having them in my journal, I have so many, like, in here, and I've got different things. And, like, we've talked about, and Amy was talking about, like, having them written down and going back to me, like, okay, God, what are you doing? Seeing his hand in it. Pursuing him, thinking about him more often, loving people more often. It's a constant pursuit. And he is worth pursuing. He's worth seeing more clearly. You know, like, he's so beautiful that I don't want to miss out on it. You know, and I don't want us to miss out on it. And we can look around this world and, like, our city, and it feels really heavy. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, and my heart is just, you know, broken for Mike and his family. I mean, with his brother, you know, like such a tragedy. I know that Gary experienced God, you know, I had conversations. I know that he felt him. I know that he didn't get baptized just to make himself look good, because that's not how Gary functioned, you know, like, he didn't really care in that way, you know, like. And so I know that there was realness in that. And I really do believe that he's up there. I believe that he was able to cling to that, you know? But I'm like, no, not like that. Not in that hopelessness, because there was so much better for him. There was so much better for Lisa's cousin Tim. You know? There's so much better for a lot of the people that are part of our community and really being beat down. There's better, and I'm not, I was talking to my mom on the phone, which we do often, but I was saying, like, I want to learn how to actually pray for people. I haven't quite figured that out. Not when I'm with people, like, to pray for them, but, like, to be praying for people throughout the week. I don't want to always constantly come to God with this list of wants and needs for people. Like, this list, God, would you do this? God, would you do this? God, would you do this? But at the same time, we were talking and praying for people enlarges our hearts to love them better. And what else was you said? It also, what was it? I can't remember how you'd put it. It changes us in how we see them. And it also reveals God's heart for people. So in that, then what do we do with those prayers? Because our lives loving people is actually prayer in action, right? So praying for him and opening up those doors, and then us taking those moments to show that love, us stepping into people's messiness into their lives, right? Us being a part of that, us making time for people. And part of it is when we're thinking about those people more, then I believe that we're going to be able to hear God's prophetic voice for them too. And maybe it's going to be, you know, there's things that happen. Like, I remember my dad, like, he was awakened one night, this is years and years ago, to start praying for his sister and his younger sister. And he didn't really know why. And he found out the next day that his sister had rolled her car. Was she the one driving? Huh? Or a friend was driving? She was driving?
She was driving, but it was a guy was, you know, trying to get him to pull over on that. And they were on the freeway anyway. He was doing some real dangerous things and just flipped.
They rolled. Nobody lost their lives, but people were thrown from the car, yeah. You know, and so like really crazy things. And he woke up and started praying for them. I know prayer has power. Mm-hmm. I know that things happen because of that. I want to learn how to pray better. But at the same time, I felt like I was on the walk yesterday, and I felt like in that God was saying, you don't have to have it perfect. This isn't a formula, right? It. There are ways that he's going to reveal his heart more and help us to connect with him in that intimacy. But I think I've just been worried about coming to him in the wrong way. But it's like, if we pursue him, we will find him. And as we seek after him, he will be unveiled more and more. And we learn in the process of doing. I would rather learn and make mistakes as I'm learning than never try, because then you're never going to learn. I tell my students all the time, I'm like, mistakes are good because you learn from them. And if you realize a misconception, you realize something that's like off, and how do you fix that? And it's like, that's the same thing with following God. If we continue to pursue him, we'll realize those misconceptions. We'll make mistakes. We're going to do things that we're going to have to take ownership for. You know, we're going to treat people in the wrong way sometimes, and to be able to take responsibility for that and move forward. That's what this life is about. It is messy, but it really is beautiful. Like to see people come into the true identity of who God's created them to be. That's crazy. Like that's crazy. We were at the Burn, and one of the songs that I started singing was, oh, I don't know if I can remember the words exactly, but it was with that heart of like, God has big enough arms for everyone to fit in. And he has good for everyone, you know? And there's just this thing in my heart, like, and I want more people to come. That's what it was. Like, there's big enough, God has big enough arms for everyone, and I want to bring people with me into his embrace. Because that's where the change takes place. That's where people are transformed, right? Like, we felt that, and like, we've got to hold on to that. And it's not this death grip, but it's holding on to him. It's keeping in his embrace. It's allowing ourselves to stay there, because that's what's going to sustain us. One miraculous encounter, one prophetic word is not going to alter our entire lives. It's what we choose to do with that truth that's been spoken over us. How we choose to agree, you know, with that. That's the beauty, you know? I want us to take some time today. Is that stuff making sense with Revelation and like what that is about? Like, when I read that again, because I was like, okay, God, what do you want to say today? And when I was just kind of flipping through and like, you know, what the prophetic is, but hitting on that revelation and going to that, like, that truth of the revelation is, it's Jesus. It's seeing him more clearly. And so when somebody gives a word to me, that's what it should unveil. Like with Amy's example of when it doesn't reveal him, that's not true revelation, right? I had somebody tell me, a young lady, tell me that her and I were supposed to be together and we were supposed to be married. We were supposed to get married. And I had no feelings for her whatsoever. And the way that she said it was, I'm going to listen to God and obey him. You get to choose if you're going to listen to him or not. And there was this, I felt probably the most out of any time in my life, I felt spiritually sick. And I remember calling my parents and calling her pastor and like talking to people. I'm like, because she said, well, I think we need to take a week and pray about this and see what God says. So I'm like, well, if I say no, then like I'm messed up. Right? And so I start praying, and like 2 days later I call her, and after talking to people, and I'm like, here's the deal. This is over. You're not. She started going to my mom's Bible study in Bountiful. She lived in Park City. She started like making friends with my mom, like this stuff. There was this emotional and spiritual manipulation. There was something inside of her that believed that was true, but she was using it as like, this is a revelation from God. That was not from God. Okay, and I felt sick, and I remember like right afterwards, like I went to coffee with her when she first told me. So I did it over the phone. I had a friend sitting there with me when I talked to her on the phone. I said, this is it. This is over. You're not going to talk to my friends about it. You're not going to talk to me about it ever again. I'm letting go of this, and I'm walking away forever. Goodbye. And I had to cut that off, and I just felt this, this weight lifted off of me. If you feel sick and slimed by something, let it go. That is not God revealing his heart, right? And so we've got to be really careful, because if it's not in love and really honoring people and respecting people, we can do some damage in that. And that was, it was, anyway, things like that can happen. But when we feel life come into us, when we see him more clearly, like, that's beautiful. And so that doesn't mean, like, be afraid. Like, if you're going with love, that situation is not going to happen. You know, like, you're doing this in relationship. Like, you know, it's the community. And, I mean, what's sad is soon after, like, she met a guy who wanted to get married. She told her pastor she wanted him to marry him. She'd known this guy for 3 months or something around there. She wanted to get married quickly. He's like, I won't. And her parents left the church. And because he's like, I want to walk through, I want to, you know, do some premarital counseling. We don't have time for that. We're not going to get married now. And it was just this, like, there was something really spiritual, you know, in that, and this deep desire and this longing for that, but not walking in accountability with people, you know? And so anyway, I mean, we have to be careful, because there are spiritual things that are happening, but we also have the ability to show love and to reveal who he is. So what I would like us to do is just to get in groups of three or four, and just pray for each other, and just take time for each person to be prayed for, and just see what God wants to do. What, you know, and it could just be an encouraging prayer, but God might bring something else up as revelation of Jesus in their lives, of revelation of their heart. And if you don't feel comfortable, there's no like pressure on this, but like, I imagine we're all comfortable with people praying for us. If you don't feel comfortable praying, that's totally okay. But just getting in groups of three or four, and I'm going to join as well. And we're just going to see what God wants to say. Because if we make space, I believe we're going to experience more of that.
Are you going to choose to settle for us?